Hello everyone, and welcome to the Cure Panel Talk Show on Myeloma. I'm Priya Menon, Scientific Media Editor at Cure Talk Cure Panel, joining you from India, and I welcome all of you this evening to a discussion on multiple myeloma. This is our 47th episode of the Cure Panel Talk Show. In our previous episode in February, we talked to Dr. Vincent Rajkumar on myeloma cure and control. As we all know, March is Myeloma Awareness Month, and this is our special broadcast for the event in support of all myeloma advocates, non-profits, researchers, institutions, and doctors who are striving very hard to make available to myeloma patients the best possible treatments and drugs. Today we are discussing fundraising for myeloma with a panel of cancer advocates who have raised funds for myeloma and cancer and continue to do so. We are inspired by them and thank them for their tireless efforts. My co-host for the show today is myeloma survivor and advocate Matt Goldman. Matt documents his myeloma journey on his blog mattvsmyeloma.com, and you can also reach him on Twitter at mpg61. I welcome Matt, the panel, and the audience to the Cure Panel Talk Show on fundraising for myeloma. Before I hand over to Matt, I would like to inform all listeners that we will be taking in listener questions and addressing questions received via email towards the end of the discussion. Matt will now introduce us to our panel. Matt, you are live on air.
Thanks, Priya. Before I get started, I just want to apologize if I'm distracted or background noise. If you hear things going on in the background, sorry about that. Anyways, just a quick introduction of me is I was diagnosed in 2011, May 2nd, 2011. And before I was diagnosed, you know, I think like a lot of people, I just sort of had charities that I would donate to on an annual basis, just sort of give money and not really think about where the money was going, just think, oh, I'm doing something good. So I think like a lot of myeloma patients since being diagnosed, I want to have my efforts and other people's efforts, it seems like, be more impactful and be more important towards actually going towards research and support towards myeloma. And given March is Myeloma Awareness Month, it seems like this is a good time to have this panel. So we have three people on here who are just really amazing survivors, amazing fundraisers, people who do some really great things to help myeloma. And so I really wanted to use this just to get into the nuts and bolts. We got three people. One is Brad, who is a fellow patient, and Kendra, whose father has myeloma, and she's a triathlete who raises money for the MMRF, and then Cindy, who's also a myeloma, very active advocate. Why don't I start with Cindy, if you could just introduce yourself and give people a little bit of your background.
Okay, my name is Cindy, and I was diagnosed with myeloma in July of 2008, like probably most of the other people that were diagnosed. Never heard of the disease before, so I had a lot of education to do and used some of the resources from the different foundations to educate myself. And after my disease became more in control, I started realizing that fundraising was a big part of helping promote these organizations' missions. Before that, I really didn't understand the purpose of fundraising. I guess I was just so involved in my own little world that I didn't quite get it all, but as I became more involved, I realized that if we need to continue with the research, providing the patient services, providing the advocacy that we need, that monies need to be given, and nonprofits usually get most of their money from fundraising and donations. So that's how I became involved a little bit in the fundraising aspect.
Thanks. And so my first question to you, Cindy, is what does one look at when comparing charities? Even with myeloma, you have the IMF, and you have the MMRF, and you have LLS, and you have the American Cancer Society. There's all these great, you know, helpful organizations, what do you look for? What should somebody look for in terms of having the most impact?
Well, the first thing I think anybody should look for, no matter what they're fundraising for, what organization they're planning on supporting, is there's like some free services. There are web services out there. One's called the Charity Navigator or the GuideStar. And these just kind of rate charities on an overall basis and give them like a 4-star rating, a 3-star rating, a 5-star rating. So you want to find a charity that's rated high by one of these organizations. The Better Business Bureau also does a rating for the charity. So before you even get started, you want to make sure your charity is worthwhile using one of those. And they say, you know, probably at least 75% of the income that a charity makes should be used towards its mission. It should not be used for operating costs. 60% is like the minimum amount. So so that's the beginning part, and then you probably want to understand the charity's mission. What is it set out to do, and how the charity's mission helps you or your group. And I think those were things that we look at when we do our fundraising. I'm part of a support group, and a support group runs a very large 5K each year. And when we chose our beneficiaries of the 5K, we looked at those, and we chose the three organizations that seemed to help us the most by both providing research. They are constantly doing research by providing patient services to us. Like some of the organizations will provide some financial support. They'll provide education through teleconferences. They'll support us as patients. And also we look at organizations that are a little bit into advocacy, too, because we need people out there to advocate. The one we looked at all the organizations. We found the three that best met our needs were the IMS, the MMRF, and the LLS. The American Cancer Society, although it does support us in some which ways, I mean, they have wonderful programs like Ride to Recovery and the Look Good Feel Better program, we just felt the other three were more myeloma related at this point. So that's how we choose.
Okay. And then, yeah, I noticed that you're doing the 5K, and I saw that you were raising funds for the three organizations. And again, just kind of nuts and bolts, you're using active.com as your source of sort of collecting funds. How does that work, or how does even somebody choose what, you know, if somebody's creating their own event, which when we talk to Brad and Kendra, that's what they've kind of done, is how does one sort of go about just creating that, the process of the funds coming in, and how do you know which website's the best?
Well, I'm not quite sure how you decide which website's the best. Our event that we have, it's a big event. We have about 1,000 participants, and it's sponsored by our support group. But we have a separate ad hoc committee that kind of works on the 5K. It's not during our meetings because we think our meetings need to be more centered on other things. So we do conference calls and talk about it, and we have committees. So the logistics committee, which I'm not part of, is the one that talks about where the event is going to be and how we're going to register the participants. And they've been using Active just because, I guess, it's a web-based event. It's a web online registration, so our registrations can come in online. We don't have to hand register people, and then Active provides us with some marketing. They will market our event on their websites. They will send it out to direct customers as, you know, people that have used Active before that are runners. They will mail and generate emails to people that last year were part of our event. So through Active, you can make your own donation page and set up a whole template there. There's a link to Facebook. There's a way to email friends and family through it. Yeah. So I think that's why we chose Active to begin with. The only problem with Active is they do take a percentage of your profits. So it's a small percentage, but still a percentage. And like when you're raising lots of money, even a small percentage could be a lot of money. So we are looking into other sources of doing that organization. But I'm not on that part of the committee, so I can't tell you which other organizations we're looking at. But I know that we needed to have something that helped us organize, because it would be just crazy to be able to have to enter all that data if you had 1,000 people. I mean, I work with the volunteers, and I have about 180 to 100 volunteers the day of the race, so we're using something called Sign Up Genius to even help organize the volunteers. So I guess it depends on how big your event is whether you need to use a service like that, or if you can control it by just using a database yourself.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Let me jump over to Brad. Brad, first of all, how are you doing? Yep. Brad?
I'm sorry, Matt. I was on mute.
Okay. Hey, Brad.
Good to talk to you, Matt. Thank you for having me, and thank you for hosting this panel during Myeloma Awareness Month. I'll just say that it's really nice to hear Cindy's voice. We interact so much on Twitter and have never met live like you and I have, Matt. So it's nice to match the voice with the Twitter handle.
Hey, Brad. I was just thinking the same thing. It's nice hearing you guys' voices.
Yeah, it's always nice hearing your guys' voices. Brad, tell us a little about you, and you put a golf tournament together pretty quickly, it seemed like, after you were diagnosed, and maybe you could just tell us a little bit how you managed to do that. What was the process?
Sure. So I was diagnosed in December of 2012, so fairly recently, just past my first year mark, actually had a stem cell transplant at the beginning of January. When I was diagnosed in 2012, after that kind of initial shock of, you know, the I have cancer shock, what do I do now? And I started to learn more about myeloma, and especially through my interactions with folks like you and Cindy and everybody else there and Kendra on Twitter, I felt there was a need to do something good, to turn a negative into a positive. And my wife and I are active, you know, in organizations in our community. I'm on the board of directors of one organization, and you know, my wife's very active with the school board, and you know, we attend a lot of fundraisers, and we have a great community and a very generous community. And we thought that we would, you know, it brings awareness not only to multiple myeloma, but also to what I'm going through, and it gives people a better understanding of, you know, this incurable disease called myeloma. And so I love to golf. I've been to a ton of golf outings. I figure, well, hey, what the heck? Let's see if we can raise a little bit of money and make it an annual event. And every year it'll get better and better, and I promise that.
How much did the MMRF help you with the process of putting the tournament together, some of the logistics of it?
The MMRF is a great resource. Now, I heard that one of the questions that you asked me was, well, how did you choose the organization that you were gonna donate to? And I went on the different websites, and you know, the MMRF was just very responsive. I worked with a great person there named Brooke who helped me out every step of the way. They sent me a booklet, how to do this, how to do that. I had my own ideas on what I wanted to do as well, and they were very, tolerant of the things that I wanted to do, as long as I was in line with their guidelines and procedures. Now, what I will say is they changed those procedures a little bit last year to this year, so we're having to change some of the things that we do at the golf outing, but our plan is just to stick with them and raise, you know, even more money this year because we have more time to promote it. We're promoting it in different ways. We've raised some of the sponsorship fees, and you know, so we look forward to a continued great partnership with the MMRF. But if anybody is out there that is on the call looking to do any type of fundraiser, whether it's a golf outing, a road race like a 5K or a 10K or a dinner, the MMRF has a guide that will take you through the process from A to Z.
And how does the you mentioned your sponsorships and donations. How did you handle sort of the logistics of just the money going from your event to MMRF? Was it something you just handled, or did you handle it? Did the MMRF help you with that part of it?
Well, last year what we did, it's pretty costly to put a golf outing on. And so, you know, from the club that we used to the favors for the guests, golf balls, T-shirts, or, you know, golf shirts, hats and gift bags and awards. And, you know, our cost ran somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000 just to put the event on. And so in order to make it meaningful, we've really got to raise double that amount. And so the MMRF was great. And last year they let us use their name, and the outing was called Brad Strong, Golfs Against Cancer, for the benefit of the MMRF. So all the money that we took in all the money ourselves and then turned it over to the MMRF. This year we're doing it a little bit differently. We're in the process of filing a 501c application with the IRS, which would make this our tournament. We own it, and we can actually choose where we want to donate the money. But that also means that we've got to kind of front the cost on that outing. So it makes it a little bit more expensive at the beginning for somebody like me, but it gives us a little more control of where we donate. But the MMRF has been so helpful to us that this year the plan is to donate 100% of the proceeds over to them anyway. So, but, you know, the other question that I know that you asked Cindy was about which service that you use. You know, people will send me checks made out to Brad Strong Golfs Against Cancer. We have a separate bank account, and then we have PayPal attached to that bank account in case anybody wants to donate by credit card. And, you know, the interesting thing about the charges is they are annoying. PayPal charges a percentage of everything that you bring in, and, you know, you'd think that we could get them to lower that percentage because it's for a charity, but I guess they're a for-profit company, so that's we want to keep them in business as well. But you know, my feeling is it just makes the outing more accessible to everybody. It makes it easier for people to donate money. It makes it easier for people to participate. And if we have to pay a small fee to do that, then, you know, so be it. You know, I think that that kind of evens itself out in the fact that we get more people to participate, but we do have to pay a fee to do that.
Yeah, I agree. We do need some kind of service. We're just trying to see if there's other services that charge a smaller fee that provide the same quality of service that ACTIF does at this point.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, because I'm planning to do a 10K in late May. That's not really a, you know, an MMRF sponsored event or anyone else, but I wanted to turn it into a fundraiser, and that's where I've been sort of scratching my head in terms of how I make that work. And like you both have said, you know, I've looked at different websites and you see that they charge fees and things like that, and it just gets a little bit confusing at times.
Matt, I will say too, having the PayPal or another service attached to it that collects credit cards, and although they charge a fee, being able to have something point of sale at your event, so, you know, you have that impulse donator who might say, hey, you know what, I want to buy some raffle tickets, or I want to buy a T-shirt, or I just want to make a donation because I've had such a fabulous time at this event. It gives them the opportunity to do that with a credit card. And,
right,
you know, not having cash in your pocket is not an excuse. I work in sales, and if I don't ask for the order, I don't get the order. And so, you know, we are constantly asking people for donations, for sponsorship, for participation, all in the name of a great, great cause and something that's very dear to me. All our job is to deliver on that, and they have to have a first-class experience door-to-door when they show up at our event.
Sure.
Yes.
And so both of you...
Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, I have an answer. I know what you can do. This is Kendra.
Hey, Kendra.
Hi. For your 10K, if you do want the funds to go right to MMRF, you just send them a quick email, let them know you want to choose your own event or create your own event, and they will give you a fundraising page on Active Platform that we've been discussing. And kind of as Brad was saying, they will guide you through creating or making that page into your own. And then you just send that link out to all of your friends and has the credit card option, and people read about your event right on there, and they put their credit card information in there. And it also has the added benefit of sending them a tax receipt for their donation. And you don't have to worry about that. And it's, of course, a benefit for your donors.
Right. So they make it real easy.
Right. Most charities have that, you know, like the MMRF has it, the LOS has it, the IMF, American Cancer Society, all the charities will have some kind of platform to help you out so you can make those contacts.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Well, Kendra, how about why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it.
Okay, thank you. So it's nice to meet you, and thank you, Matt and Priya, for having us all on. And like Brad said, it's nice to connect the voices with the Twitter handles. So my name's Kendra, and I got involved with fundraising for myeloma when my dad was diagnosed, and he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma 11 years ago, and he is still doing fairly well. And I'm very happy to give that news, especially during this month, Myeloma Awareness Month. So he was told, you know, 3 to 5 years, but that was 11 years ago, and a big bonding experience that my father and I had growing up. He had passed his love of running onto me, and so when he was diagnosed, we kind of looked at the 3 to 5 year survival average and said, if we're ever going to run a marathon together, we better do it now. And so a couple years after my dad had been diagnosed, he and I ran a marathon together and raised money for, it was actually the IMF. We hadn't yet heard of MMRF, so we raised money for IMF. And that was great, and we had a really good experience, raised about $5,000. But since then, I've actually become really involved with the MMRF, and that was because they had what the MMRF does is they get bibs for races that people really want to do. New York City Marathon, for example, was a race that I really wanted to do, and they get bibs also for triathlons, and so I agreed to fundraise for them in exchange for getting an entry into the New York City Marathon. That was in 2009, and it was the beginning of a, I'll call, lifelong relationship with the MMRF. I raised $60,000 through marathons and triathlons, Ironman distance triathlons, and then a variety of other more creative ways of fundraising to fight what I like to call fundraising fatigue. And I can talk more about fundraising fatigue, but I didn't know if there was anything specific you wanted me to address right away.
No, why don't you talk about fundraising fatigue? Like I said, I just want this to be, all three of you are really do great stuff, and I just thought it'd be really helpful to get sort of the nuts and bolts and your thoughts on all of this. So go right ahead.
Sure. Okay, so I have been raising money for Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation since 2009. And I was a grad student at that point, and so the donations that I was able to receive from my circle of friends were, you know, lower in value. But I found after that first event that I wanted to continue to go back to those same donors who believed in what I was doing and who cared about my cause. But I felt that I couldn't continue to go back to the same people and ask them to continue to donate money with sort of nothing more tangible in return. And so I came up with the idea to, at that point I had become a triathlete and had made a lot of friends in the triathlon community and with triathlon-related companies. And so I came up with the idea to hold what I call the Team Poppy Fest, which is basically an evening of Austin that benefits the NMRF. And I invite all of the triathletes and runners in my city of Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., to come and to bid on different auction items that all of the companies, that have been donated by all of these companies. So the grand prize is a bicycle that's worth, last year was worth $3,000. This year the bike shop gained so much exposure, and the bike shop is called Tri-360 in Arlington, Virginia. And they
I think there is an echo coming from your call. If you're listening in, if your computer is on, maybe you can just mute it. I think the echo might be because Yes.
But, my computer is not on. I don't know. Do you have another solution idea?
No. Now, when you're speaking now, I don't hear an echo. But just around a couple of minutes back, I think there was quite a big echo.
Oh, okay.
It's all right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're good now.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, let me know if it happens again. I didn't know, but my computer wasn't on. Okay. Anyway, so basically where I was driving at was that I've made friends in the triathlon community, friends with the people who own this bike shop, and I approach all of these different vendors or companies, and I explain to them that we're having basically a party for local triathletes and endurance athletes, and I communicate to them the benefit to them to participating in that they would get a lot of exposure. We have about 300 people attend. They would get a lot of exposure in their market, and so most of the time when I approach a company to make a donation to the auction, they are overwhelmingly, I receive yes, 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 I would love to donate. And so we receive everything from, gear to bicycles to even restaurants want to donate gift cards. So last year we raised $13,000 in one night with this format. And this year, we actually have the same event coming up in a month.
That sounds great. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. And so that was a way for me to sort of combat the fundraiser fatigue. I am not the one with the fatigue, but I want to make sure that my donors don't get tired of reaching into their pockets year after year. I want to continue to raise money for the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. And that really will depend, my success in doing that will depend on the relationships I have with my donors. And so I want to keep those relationships strong, and I don't want them to suffer from fundraiser fatigue.
So you add the fun factor into it.
Exactly.
And
so many people, I mean, we had hundreds of prizes, and so I would say the majority of people at the end of the night went home with something really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you get, and maybe this is for you and Brad, I mean, you get in-kind donations where the place where you hold the event might just donate their facility. Do you try and work that as well?
Yes. Yes, when I'm approaching venues, that's one of the main criteria that I have. I say I'm going to bring, 250 hungry and thirsty, happy people to your venue. Can you donate the space? We raise money for the MMRF. I have a letter prepared that explains what the MMRF is, They take a look at the letter and they understand that this will be good for them and for us, and they usually jump on board right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll second that. I mean, we didn't get the venue donated. I mean, obviously to staff a golf outing for them, and to, you know, the course time and things like that are a significant loss of revenue, and they certainly get a lot back by supporting our outing and giving us the best price. So we negotiate the very best price that we can. They were a ton more competitive than some of the other golf clubs in the area. And this year we had to raise the price a little bit because the catering manager said that our group drank more alcohol than any other group in their golf outing history at that club. So we're a fun-loving group. And, you know, and that's really the key to having a successful fundraiser. And as Kendra said, you know, you don't want your donors to get fatigued. And the whole point of that is that you have to give them a first-class experience. Last year
right.
we had 144 golfers. That's 18 holes, 4 golfers a hole, 2 foursomes on every hole. So one group's teeing off and one group's in the middle of the fairway. It's really tight. That's the maximum number of people you can have at a golf outing. And we were out for 6 hours, and it started raining. And most people had only played maybe 10 or 11 holes, not the whole 18. And everybody came inside to the bar and drank. And an hour later, it cleared up, and some went out and some didn't. But everybody, to a person, said it was the best outing they've ever attended.
Yeah, and Matt, we always get lots of people to donate even to our race. As part of our race, we also have an event called Putting for Pat that he's one of the members that belongs to a golf club. I mean, sometimes you could have somebody write letters to some of the major pharmaceutical companies, and some of the pharmaceutical companies may sponsor you. We like having refreshments at our events, so we approach, I know, like Wawa and Wegmans and lots of the local businesses around our way will donate water, animal crackers, granola bars, so bananas. We got Chiquita bananas to be donated to our event. We have a DJ coming. We get the Philly Fanatic to come. So, and all this is for free, and we tell them what it is. And just like Brad and Kendra said, is you want your event to be as memorable and as fun as possible. So you want to have things there that people will say, wow, I had a good time. The DJ gets the kids dancing because we have a family fun event, you know, in the beginning. Mm-hmm. At the end, we have, like, goodie bags that we give away that have little prizes in it that have been donated by local companies, or some of the hospitals sponsor our event. So we do try to get people to sponsor us. We do get people to provide entertainment. Last year, we had a masseuse there that was giving chair massages. So there's a lot of people in the community that will be willing to donate their services just for the exposure, especially when you tell them you may have this many people there. So
right.
Yeah, and fun activities.
And you even
really
had, you said you even had the Philly Fanatic there?
Yeah, we had the Philly Fanatic there. He's come a couple times. We can't find out whether he's going to get there this year. We have to wait till the middle of March to see if he has other engagements, but otherwise, we get a Boomer who's like the Kicks mascot. So, but we, Philly Fanatic usually shoots the gun at our race, you know what I'm saying, to start the race. So we try to make it fun. We have a balloon artist there. We have a tent there that kids' faces could get painted. So, you know, because there's time in the beginning before the event starts that the teams gather together, they get T-shirts. I mean, we try to make it as fun, but we get as many donations as possible. We want our overhead to be as minimal as possible. So, and people, when you tell them what you're doing, they will donate.
Mm-hmm. And what's the date of your event?
April 26th this year. It's going to be at Fairmont Park in Philadelphia, and we're hoping to get over 1,000 people. Last year we had close to 1,000, and we cleared in profits over $140,000. So, and that's one thing I wanted to kind of say, too, is, like, you know, sometimes you could work as a group on an event, and that's kind of like what I like to do, is working in group events. People who can't organize their own events, because sometimes it's very, very hard to organize your own event, you could be part of a group event, a 5K or the Race for Research or one of the endurance teams or team and training. There's so many ways to participate in events, mm-hmm. whether it is you organizing a big event like a 5K or a golf outing, or you organizing a small event like maybe a Chinese auction or a raffle, or sometimes you could just go to a local restaurant. I know our local restaurants around here, like Red Robin and Texas Roadhouse, we tell them what we want to raise money for, and 20% of the profits that night, people bring in flyers, we get back. So, I mean, it's a small, easy way of just building your profits into your events. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's lots of ways to help out. It doesn't have to be big. You can even volunteer at an event. You know, people are always looking for volunteers. You could help with the registration, or you could help organizing. There's just so many ways to get involved.
Right.
This is Kendra. I wanted to add to what Cindy was saying about a smaller event. People like to ask me about the bigger events I've done, but I think some of the smaller ones are just as important, and they were a lot less. They took a lot less time and fewer resources for me to actually execute. And I would love to give an example of one of those, which was just a wine and chocolate evening that I hosted right at my house. And we had I invited all of my friends and. You know, invited them to bring their friends, and the basic platform for this evening was to bring $20 bill, and a bottle of wine, and I had my friends who are good at baking, bake a variety of chocolate items, and then had a friend who's in a wine club donate 4 cases of wine. And the wine that was donated, those 4 cases, was for consumption during the party. But the wine bottle that people brought to the party, along with their $20 bill, actually went into a prize that was raffled off at the end of the evening. And so it was very fun. 4 people went home with... 60 bottles of wine were divided among 4 winners. And so, you know, at the end of the evening, we had raised money. I had quite literally 0 overhead. And so every dollar that I collected at the door went right to the MMRF. And that only took, you know, maybe sending out an e-vite 2 weeks ahead of time, mm-hmm. and just asking the friend who had a connection with a wine company to donate the 4 cases. And so that's an example of something that I think really anyone can do with their favorite food or beverage.
Right.
And it's a fun evening for you and all your friends.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it was. And it was, you know, it was really fun, and everyone had a really nice dessert. And I recommend that format, because I didn't need to provide the dinner for anyone. It was just a dessert party, basically.
Right.
One thing that I would say is never, ever underestimate the generosity of your community, whether it's your the community that you live in every day, the town that you live in, your school community, if you're a student, your work community, your social community. When I listen to Cindy and I listen to Kendra and I hear the passion in their voices and the devotion that they have to finding a cure, that people want to help, people want to donate. People, when your passion is genuine, people are willing to help you in any way that they can, and never, ever underestimate that.
Right. Very good tip. What's the date?
And ask for help.
That's
Brad,
good
what's the
too.
Date?
Ask for help.
Ask, yeah. Brad, what's the date of your golf tournament?
Monday, June 23rd at Shackamaxon Country Club in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. And we're looking forward to having a full house again. And you can find information for it on bradstrong.wordpress.com.
Okay. I'm all out of questions. You guys got me pretty fired up, though. Like Brad said, your passion is awesome.
Matt, I have another really exciting announcement that may interest some of the listeners or the children of some of the listeners. The Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation is starting young professionals groups in several cities on the East Coast, and hopefully will expand across the country. But I'm lucky enough to be involved in the founding of the MMRF Young Professionals of DC group. They have one in Chicago, and I believe they've started one in Boston, but it's just this year that they're starting. And what they're looking to do is really bring the knowledge and concern for myeloma to the next generation of people who will be who will grow up interested and passionate about finding a cure. And so I think we have about 20 young professionals involved in D.C. And when Cindy and Brad were talking about, asking for help or fundraising in groups, this is a really great opportunity to learn more about fundraising because you're doing it with someone else. Each of the groups will have chairman and fundraising chairs, and you can sort of learn and support those young professionals groups. If you're not quite ready to do your own event, we held our first event in D.C., for example, and it was it involved wine, interestingly enough, but it was a wine and paint night, and we were able to find a venue that they do painting classes, and so we hosted about 60 young professionals in downtown D.C., and admission was $40, and that included a canvas and all the paints and a glass of wine. And, again, vendors donated food for the event, and the painting room donated the space, and I think we raised $3,000 that night. So I wanted to bring this up in case anyone listening is in D.C., Chicago, or Boston. Go ahead and reach out to MMRF and find out how you can become involved in these young professionals groups.
Uh-huh. Thanks. Priya, that's kind of it for what my questions were. Do we have caller questions?
Yes, thank you, Matt. We do have quite a few questions that our participants have sent us via email. I'll go through them, and they're all open to all the panelists. We'll go Kendra first, Brad next, and Cindy third. I think the best I liked was something very simple and something I'm sure is for beginners. Person writes in, I want to fundraise for myeloma. Where do I begin? And whom do I contact? Kendra.
Oh, okay. I believe strongly in the mission of the MMRF, but I, of course, would encourage this person to look at Charity Navigator, like Cindy said in the very beginning. But once you decide on the charity, the myeloma charity that you want to support, their website will have someone to contact. So you just navigate the website, if Cindy or Brad want to add anything, that's fine. But basically, the website of the charity that you wish to donate to or fundraise for will have contact information, and you email that person and let them know that you're interested in starting to fundraise.
Yeah, I agree with Kendra. That every one of the myeloma charities that we work with do have contacts, that will help you with your fundraising. And you could fundraise for more than one organization, too, if you would like to. Like, our group has decided to do more than one organization because we see each of the organizations we fundraise for sometimes provide a little bit unique of an experience. One maybe will provide a little bit more financial support to our patient population, especially with their medications, where they can't afford their medications, whereas another may provide a little bit more patient education with support groups, and one may provide a lot more research in the area. So we divide our fundraising among different organizations because we see that each organization meets different needs of our patient population. So, you know, you could fundraise from more than one if you need to. But each mm-hmm. organization will have contact information for somebody that will help you step by step along the way.
Brad, would you like to add something?
I think that they covered it all.
Okay, the next question we have, I think Kendra's announcement on Young Professional Group would be a very good answer to this. Person writes in, I'm planning a fundraising event at school. Can I fundraise for something specific?
The person is asking if they can do a fundraiser at school?
Yes. I'm planning a... Yeah.
I can speak to what the person would do if he or she wanted to raise money for the MMRF, and I imagine that the other organizations would have a similar option. But the MMRF, and again, you would just go to the MMRF.org website, and you can see the types of events. You kind of search through their fundraising page for the types of events that they offer, and there's an option for creating one's own event. And so you would click on that information, and that will give you some contact information, and you would just ask to be contacted, and the MMRF would get in touch with you and let you know how to set up the fundraising page.
I would also add, Priya, that for somebody who's, you know, I think the question was, I'm doing a fundraiser at school. Can I raise the money for something specific? If you don't know
what
you want to do, but you just know that you want to raise money, that you want to be involved, that you want to do something, the different web pages, Kendra mentioned themmrf.org, and that's the one that I work through also, they have ideas for things that you can do, whether they're 5K or 10K races or golf outings or there's something in Central Park like a crab dinner or something, or there's just all kinds of ideas and all kinds of different events, and whether you want to do a cookie cutter in the same way that somebody's done it before or whether you have your own ideas, you could find mm-hmm. the information on how to do it right on the organization's webpage.
Yeah, exactly. And even in school, I know some of they have cabaret nights where they can show their talents and raise money at the cabaret night and then decide how to donate their funds. You know, there's plenty of different ideas besides 5Ks or marathons that you can do, especially if you have a school and an auditorium and a interested group of students to work with. So I've seen schools working in many different ways.
I think that's a very good answer. I think the person who wrote in would have got many ideas to this. The next question is, what do I need to do to have a successful campaign?
I will take this one. I will say the most important thing that you need to do to be successful, and I've learned this from experience, is be organized. Mm-hmm. Be organized. Keep your list together. Know who sponsored. Know exactly. Keep track of every single detail. I happen to have done my fundraiser. We put it together in 3 months. I was in the middle of my busiest 6 months of work, and I was going through chemo and getting ready for my stem cell transplant. That's a lot on my plate. And when I'm busy at work, I'm working, you know, 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. I mean, it's just all day nonstop, out traveling, things like that. So it took me a long time to get things organized and get my Excel spreadsheets and reconcile and get my donor list and everything together. This year, I am so far ahead of the game in that. really be organized, because not only does that ease the stress of running the event, but it prepares you for the next year, and it prepares you for the next event, because all your ducks are in a row and you know exactly who you're going to contact. So if you want to be successful, I think step number 1, 2, 3, and 4 are be organized.
Was it Brett? Hey, Brett, this is Matt. I'm pretty sure what your answer will be, but when you decided to do the golf tournament last year, and, you know, you were recently diagnosed, and like you said, you had a lot on your plate, was there ever a moment where you sort of hesitated and said, wait a second, what am I doing here? Or was that, did that never cross your mind?
I don't have those moments. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I ask myself the question. I just don't let myself answer it, and we just plow right ahead.
All right. That's what I thought your answer would be. Thanks.
I wanted to add to that. Brad said, he talked about setting it up for future years, or setting it up for success in the future. And I think to be successful, you do need to be sustainable. And I found, along with being organized, that's very important, I found two key ways of making it sustainable. The first of those is gratitude. And the way that donors continue to support me year after year is because they can see, and I have adequately and thoroughly expressed to them my sincere gratitude for their support. And I think that's really key to making something, instead of a one-off event or a one-off, year of fundraising, that it enables that fundraising effort to be sustainable year after year if your donors know how grateful you are. And you're responsible, of course, for showing that gratitude. And the other thing, the other thing is to really start a movement, start a campaign. And what I mean by that is have a name for what you're doing. I call what I do Team Poppy Tony. And so year after year, I thank people for supporting Team Poppy Tony. That has been very successful because while all of our funds go directly to the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, that is, first of all, a mouthful, and second of all, not a lot of people still, not a lot of my donors have been personally affected by myeloma, and so they need something a lot closer to home, a fun name that they can stick with, Team Poppy Tony, so that year after year they remember who it is that they're supporting, and they feel a part of this movement. And so feeling a part of that movement, having a name for it, Team Poppy Tony, has been very successful, and then also showing that gratitude has made us a successful fundraising family.
Kendra, those are excellent points, and along the lines of gratitude, and throwing organization in with gratitude was that, we had pictures taken at the event, and our donors got a picture of themselves. I emailed a picture of themselves from the event to the donor, and with a thank you note and a link to the rest of the pictures from the event so they can remember the experience and remember the day. And also this year, I ordered special stationery that says Brad Strong on it. So to go along with the branding and the Brad Strong and the Brad Strong Golfs Against Cancer branding, every check that I get this year, every donation through PayPal that I get this year, will get a handwritten thank you note from me on the Brad Strong stationery before the event. So, you're right. You're creating those steps and those remembrances and the feeling that this is something that I want to be a part of, not only this year and next year, but ongoing and continuous. And long after I'm gone and my wife is running this event and my kids are running this event, these people will still be there.
Excellent.
I agree. Yeah. Great ideas. The other things I would chime in is, and I think it's kind of with branding, but the idea of sharing personal stories. Like you really need to share your story. People need to understand. They need to put a face with an organization. They need to understand why it's so important to support myeloma research. So I think sharing personal stories, and depending on how big your event is, you really do need to reach out and ask for help. Maybe organization is great, but maybe even dividing. You be the one that's in charge of everything, but someone could help you with the refreshment. Someone could help you with this. Someone can help you with that, because sometimes things do become overwhelming, and there are people there who are more than willing to help out, as long as, but they don't want to butt in. But if you ask them, they will take the bull by the horns and run with it. So I think sometimes asking for help, sharing personal stories, along with what my fellow panelists were saying, are great ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all excellent ideas.
We have a donor, I think, writing in. He asks us, are contributions tax deductible? Cindy, maybe you could take that.
I didn't understand the question.
Yes, the question is, are contributions tax deductible?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
To a charitable organization.
Yes.
And, you know, I think if you're using Active or PayPal, you get that information, or the MMRF website or anything, you will get a statement right at tax time or as you are registering for the event. Yes, they're definitely tax deductible because you're giving it to 501-something-something.
501-C3.
Last year, and I haven't read my my guidebook this year to this year's golf outing. I just received it in the mail last week from the MMRF. Mm-hmm. But last year, if we sent them a list of donors, they would send letters out to each of the donors.
And that includes, I don't know if we're distinguishing between donors who donate actual money or prize donors for something like a silent auction. Or like the restaurant that donates their venue for the Team Poppy Fest that I hold, but MMRF can write the tax receipt to the venue and the prize donors as well.
Yes.
Okay, we just have time for one more question. Yes, Cindy, you were going to say something?
No, I was just saying all 501, whatever letters, I can't remember those letters, that's just chemo brain, we'll be able to see that.
C3.
C what? C3?
C3, yeah.
Okay. I just remember the 501 part. And that's one thing that our organization had to apply for so that we could become our own charity for people to help us. So that was a step in itself, applying for that designation.
Yes. The last question is on online fundraising. The person asks, can we do online fundraising? Maybe all of you could just suggest some tips on online fundraising for this person. Kendra?
Sure. Online fundraising. So I'm wondering if the person is referring to setting up the online fundraising site or actually contacting people online to become donors. So either way, my top tip would be if you're reaching out online or if you're setting up this site, just to make sure that any email communication or the online fundraising site would clearly communicate who you are and why the cause is important to you and where the funds will actually end up and the mission of the organization where those funds will actually go.
Yeah, I agree with Kendra. And most of the organizations that I've raised funds for or have been part of helping out with the fundraising will provide you the platform to set up an online fundraising page. I know Relay for Life, Team in Training, the MMRF, the IMF, any will give you that platform so that you can set up a donation page, that you can email that donation page out, that you can post that donation page on any of the social media sites. If they mean that, yes, you can do it that way, too. And the very big charities will help you with a platform that you could just create your page.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cindy. Brad, would you like to add something?
My troublemaker today.
I think the girls covered it.
Okay, thank you. I think that was awesome. That was an awesome discussion, though a bit noisy at times. Matt, I think you're almost...
I think that was my fault. Sorry.
I would just like to know where you are because I was getting, you were hearing such funny noises. I just apologize
I'm at my doctor's
Yes,
office.
Matt. Okay. Oh, that's quite understandable. So, excuse for this. Thank you so much, Kendra.
Thank you.
Kendra.
Thank you,
it was so great to talk to everyone here. And I'm sure the audience imbibed quite a bit and got a lot of ideas. You can always contact Kendra, Cindy, and Brad, and Matt. They're all available on Twitter. And if you see my Twitter page, I'm following all of them, so you can get their Twitter handles from there. It's also put up on Cure Panel Talk Show website as well as Cure Talk website. Our next panel discussion for the month of March is on 28th. At 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and our featured expert is Dr. Robert Olewiski from MD Anderson. We look forward to having all of you join us. For more details of upcoming shows, please visit curepanel.carefree.net, or you can always mail me, priya@trilex.com. To search for myeloma trials, please always use MMRF's trial search tool at myeloma.trilex.com/ask. The link for today's show will be sent via email to all participants. Thank you so much. It was wonderful having you all here.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good luck, Matt. Good luck with your team.
All right. Thanks.
With your
thanks. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.